All right, we are back with Ben Coston. This time we're going to be talking about the MLP draft, and it's a nice time to get you in, Ben, because last season, season two in 2024, you coached the championship-winning team Fast Fours. Amazing effort. How did you enjoy that experience?
It was special. It's a really special team. Couldn't really ask for more, to be honest. Like, yeah, just a great group of people, extremely talented, yeah, and worked their asses off.
So, Ben, in 2024, you coached the championship-winning team, the Fast Fours, but this year you're not officially a part of any team, so it's going to be really interesting to get your takes ahead of this year's draft. So if you were drafting a team, what might your approach be for MLP going into a six-tournament season?
Yeah, right.
Everyone's staying together this time.
Yeah, I guess the big difference there is you've got six events instead of three over a longer time frame. So you might be thinking, hey, maybe I want the players that are going to be really good come June, not the players that are really good now. So really like leaning more into that upside, maybe being a little bit more risky with things. And then I think also some captains are really going to value like player chemistry or players they get along with or they feel like they can make it through the year with. Because I felt like even in Melbourne there was some teams that weren't quite, they weren't really like, they were kind of happy to be done with it, you know.
Very weary, shall we say.
Yeah, and that was only three events.
Yeah.
You know, like three events, I mean, it's not a hugely long time.
Do you think that has something to do with the fact that, you know, when you only have three events, like it just takes one bad event? And if you have an ordinary event, well, then you're basically done for. You're not going to be competing
round. I think it's almost like it's not just one bad event. It could be one bad match. If you looked at the format last season and like the group stage, 1-1-3 match, you're almost out. If it's on like the first day, like you're going on, you're like, hey, we need a 4-0. Like we need minimum 3-1. And that's like a maybe. So, I mean, and that's how the fours started our season. We went down 1-3. In the very first thing, and that was like we felt like we had such a good team, had such a strong team. We got pumped by the Vipers and then had to turn it around and like damage control and like have good plans going to the next one, and we scraped through into the quarterfinals. And yeah, that was really dark.
I imagine quite dark. So. Yeah, well, let's talk about the MLP format and strategy. So, you know, some insights on what makes the MLP draft and season unique. So how does your strategy differ when drafting for MLP versus we were previously talking about NPL?
So MLP in general, it's more simplistic, which is good and bad. I would say like the good things are like you kind of have kind of set roles because you only play one side on any given match. There's maybe like a 1% of the time you might try something different, but it's generally that. And so you really want to have set roles. So like I'd say like the number one most important role is that alpha left side male. You really need to have that. If you don't have that, that's a problem. And then I would say like your left side female, that's good and mixed. And then your right side male, that's really good mixed. That's really valuable. And then like your like stereotypical right side girl, right side mixed, is what you look at. And I think you'll find that the number one most important and the number four, they're quite common. But the alpha left side female and then the right side male with elite mixed, they are the two that are more rare. So even though like one is more important towards like the team's success, the rarity of these other ones are kind of what you're looking for, at least what I look for.
So it's harder to draft those types of people.
Yeah, and then I think like also like when you're talking about that right side male, lefties like can fit into that as well, but then you also need the left side female to go with that. So you need another piece, particularly with a left-handed male. So they kind of like throw an extra little piece to the puzzle, which can be good because some teams might not want to poke a stick at that, and you might be able to snag something up there. So I think there's a give and take, and obviously it depends on if you're male captain, female captain, where in the order you are, where you think the break points of kind of runs of players will go. Because if say if 10 females get picked in a row, well, hell, there's going to be a lot of value picking a male with your 11th pick, you know.
Mm, right.
So there's a lot of different things that go into it.
I feel like in MLP, it's somewhat predictable when we have the gender doubles, but in terms of the mixed doubles format, there's different variations you could throw in different sequences, right?
Right.
So what qualities are most important for players in a mixed doubles format, do you think, in MLP?
So in terms of MLP, like, teams can approach a situation where you kind of want to contest mixed doubles, or you want to kind of like go 1-1. And so maybe you're just playing, say if you won 2-0 up, maybe you can have like your top mixed doubles team play their weakest one to collect that third win and take the win. Or you want to play this team in a dream breaker because you feel like you have a singles advantage there. And so you might just want to avoid their best team and avoid a situation where you go 1-3. In terms of players in mixed doubles, as a female, I think the number one most important thing is resilience. How resilient you are to like offense, your blocking of drives, how hard you are to attack, and then your control over the ball, like at the kitchen line, and having maybe two, maybe three really high percentage good attacks that you're looking for that aren't maybe too risky. So having like a little bit of offense, but not too much. And then I think having just good thirds. So I think they're probably, for a female, that's what you're really looking for. As a male, generally male players are a lot more complete, have probably spent more time playing both sides of the court. I think what I look for is, I mean, athleticism, being able to cover a lot of court, reach is helpful, but mainly attacking from positions that are difficult but having high success rate. So you just make the court feel very small that you could be attacked, and it creates that pressure. So that's what I look for.
I'm interested how, you know, give me a scenario, I guess, where you're looking to try to take this match to a dream breaker.
Sure.
How would you, you know, go about that? I guess results happen in the gender doubles, and then you've got a decision to make for mixed. So what would you be doing to make sure that you can get the advantage in taking it to a dream breaker?
So I think, one, you need to have the react. You need to react to mixed. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, you kind of just have to send out a team and you get what you get. Are you assuming it's like 1-1 or it's 2-0 to start?
Let's say it's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
It's more in your control.
You want to go to a dream breaker. Then I think you kind of want to have that mismatch where you have your top team playing their weaker team. And so you can definitely get one on the board.
Yeah. How many times has that sort of played out in your coaching experience?
I've never really worked with a team that plays for the dream breaker. Mm. I don't really believe in it. In my opinion, I think singles is probably like a 5% value in terms of how I approach like drafts and things like that.
Right.
But I mean, that's more like for MLP. But like that's kind of how I approach it. So like the Gold Coast Glory that I was with in season one of 2024, they weren't really a dream breaker team. I think we lost every dream breaker we played, actually. And then the Fours, I think we went 1-1. But we're not really built that way. We were built to win 3-1, and we just happened to win a few 4-0s. So
Fours by name, Fours by nature, right?
Yeah, fast Fours.
Players to watch. Now, historically speaking, I guess MLP's done a fantastic job of attracting international talent.
Yep.
You know, look at last year, we had Kyle Yates, Shelby Bates, Liz Truluck. I guess looking at the draft pool for this year, players to watch, notable players and potential surprises, with the MLP talent pool expanding, do you think it's harder now to predict the breakout players?
I don't necessarily think it's harder. Obviously, there's like the inclusion of India into the APAC region, and then there's, I guess, they're calling it an other region, but I guess that means more like Europe or places that aren't the United States. So you can only have one player from the United States now, but then to my understanding, there's no more regional pick, and there might be a requirement to have one APAC player, but it's kind of negligible. It's not really a factor.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's more difficult. In terms of standout players, I think the big standout on the female side for me is probably Nicola Schumann. She was one of the, I guess she's the only player that was picked in like the second or first round that's kind of still from the last draft that's still kind of available, that hasn't been moved to a captain or gone somewhere else. And I think she really fits that left side female role that I think no one else really in that draft, particularly in the APAC region, fills.
Right.
That kind of flexibility to play well on both sides, and obviously, like, her upside is the moon right now. Like, she could go anywhere. So I think she's the real standout there. In terms of, like, I think the female depth obviously is like a question.
Yeah.
As with any league, particularly in Australia, but even in the States. But I think the female depth is a big question there. And I think particularly the US female depth isn't nearly as impressive as we've seen in season one or season two of 2024.
Okay. Okay.
From my mind, I think it's all much of a muchness. And if you're picking one of these, I feel like you're picking not to have a player that will go 0-2 rather than having a player that's really going to stand out and take your team to a win.
So you mentioned Nicola Schumann just before. So she's obviously one of the players you're keeping a close eye on this season. Any other names that you want to throw out there?
On the men's side, I think like there's obvious like left side guys out of Asia, like Venchik, Mayor, pod favourite Willie Chung, and obviously Pasco.
Yep, good. I guess coaching challenges and predictions. So, you know, challenges, strategies and predictions for the season. What qualities or strategies do you think will define the toughest teams to compete against this year, regardless of how the draft plays out?
So I think like the biggest struggle is that you just, in terms of like the draft, is you just don't really want to be dead on arrival with a player that's just not going to be able to put a win on the board. I think that's kind of the number one. If you can get that, you can be somewhere in that range, because I think that the talent pool from like top to bottom, if you can get a team that's well-rounded enough, I think that's the first battle.
What's, I guess, the biggest challenge in maintaining a championship-winning culture, do you think? One of Coach K's favourite words is culture.
Yeah, I think team culture is, it's actually pretty underrated. And I think it's just knowing that everyone's out there, everyone has a job, you only have to be out there for 90 minutes. So whether it's when it's big moments or even just all the time just standing when your team's standing. Like there's so many teams I see that are just sitting by the bench, they're clapping, they might not even be cheering. I'm like, guys, like, you're only out there for 90 minutes. Like, give them a little bit of energy. If it's worth 1 point, that's 5% extra, you know? So I think, like, team culture, really being there for each other, supporting, cheering, whatever it is, I think goes a long way. And then just having, like, simple key ideas that you're really looking to execute and having kind of identities to implement into a match at important times is important as well.
I think it's a good call on the energy on the sidelines, mate. You can tell the difference between a team that is, you know, all about the team versus...
Yeah, I just think this, it just feels like you're already up 1-0 at some times, and it's a lot easier to play. Like, I think there was one time that we felt squashed last season, that was against the Surge and the Gold Coast, and you could really feel it. Even though we had a local player there, it felt like their energy was way on top.
And what excites you most about the upcoming MLP season, and how can fans follow along with your journey, I guess?
Yeah, I guess I'm excited. I'm excited for the draft. Like, the draft is the most important day of the year. I guess the year, because there's only one draft. So I'm really excited for the draft. I'm interested to see how the teams will line up, kind of do a little bit of the nerdy stuff and picking it all apart and seeing what teams I think are going to be interesting. Hoping I can be a part of it in some way, but that's not confirmed. I think just being at the events, seeing it grow, seeing the sport get better, seeing pickleball in Australia in general through both leagues will be really exciting.
Well, mate, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, though, who's going to be the number one pick?
Nicola.
Ooh, like it. Young gun. Well, let's watch it unfold, mate. Good luck in 2025 with everything you're doing.
Yeah, and, it's going to be busy.
Thanks so much for coming in, mate.
Thanks, man.
Good man.